Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. You can see it, so I'm gonna. It's the elephant in the room. Amazing gift bag tonight for the winner in the Leonard Maltin game. Since I started this thing of telling the guests to bring something to give away, so many of them have been so generous that now it's fucking crazy how awesome the gift bag can be, full of like eclectic items, like some things that make sense, and then some stuff that's just like, all right, yeah, that's cool. Like, one of the guests brought a pair of shoes that they bought that are the wrong size. So we're going to have to make sure that that guest plays for someone with that size foot, because otherwise it'll just be a tragedy if he wins for somebody that can't wear the shoes. I mean, I guess maybe he could sign them or something. But everybody brings their stuff and they say, should we sign it? And then they start to feel bad. Like, well, that's kind of, you know, really assuming that the winner is going to really be that big of a fan that they care that I sign this thing. And my feeling is like, you know, don't be so humble about it. Just sign it. So I have a Sharpie with me at all times. Because people just walk up to you and they'll be like, oh, I wish I had something, you know, for you to sign with. And I'll be like, I've got a Sharpie. And then next thing you know, I'm signing a tit or a dick. And that's the kind of thing that makes my day. So I've never signed a penis. But my name is Doug and I love movies. It's February 8th, right? To Ocean's 11, and Doug Loves Movies is coming to you from the UCB Theater in front of a live audience with name tags. Casey has a tie that says Casey on it. That's never been done before, to my knowledge. We've got a Price is Right name over there. What does that say? Keith. And we, of course, the iPhone. Lots of people put it on there, but my sight's so bad I can't. It says Jew on it? That's inappropriate to just write Jew on your phone and then, oh, cousin Jew. Oh, short for Julian. Of course, yeah, everyone knows Jew is short for Julian. Oh my God, I love the songs of Jew Lennon. That's a good one, Elizabeth, right? Tim over there has got the bottom of some sort of takeout container. or a McDonald's container that he wrote Tim on. Well, congratulations, you guys. You did it. You made ridiculous name tags. Where's your name tag? Yeah, exactly. That's why you're sitting on the floor. So since you're all... doesn't really make sense. Anyone could end up on the floor. She's got a name tag. She's on the floor. But here's what I was trying to get at. Lots of great name tags. And all right, let's get right to it. I such a great tease with the great gift bag and the these are all shitty people, whatever I said before. My guests tonight are actually three hilarious comedians, two of whom have been on the show before, and one of whom you will love soon enough. Please welcome Sean Cullen, John Doerr, and Patton Oswalt. They're having so much fun backstage together. Or they're just trying to milk the applause. Yeah, you're having fun back there. There's Sean Cullen. Sporting an adult beer. Beverage, sure. We'll sit wherever you want. You left the other two guys behind? Did you shiv them and then run out on stage? There's Patton Oswalt.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were talking about
John Doerr double-fisted.
Yeah, Patton was talking about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, the musical.
You saw it? Did you see it?
No, but did you read the review in the New York Times?
There were all the reviews came out today. All the critics just were like, fuck you.
Fascinating.
You've been in previews for months, charging full prices.
But the
months,
thing that,
I meant
the
to
thing
say.
The thing that I'm really intrigued by is in the New York Times review, I was telling you guys a story that he goes, I'm not reviewing the history of the show. I'm not reviewing the disasters and the injuries. I'm just going to review the show that I saw, which he said is terrible. But he said there's a really fascinating point when whoever's playing the guy in the Green Goblin costume, and as you said, I can't believe you just said that sentence, and there's one point in the play where the Green Goblin, he's on top of a piano and he's threatening Spider-Man, and then there's some massive technical problem where they have to stop, and then they just have to vamp and kill time, and the Green Goblin says, you know what? He goes, I will send you flying out over that audience. And they've dropped a couple of you before. Like, he's just riffing. And he said the whole audience just, it was like the one actual alive, spontaneous moment in this play that clearly the actors have just been ground down into nothing. They have no energy to deliver this stuff anymore. And that, to me, sounds so fascinating, a moment like that.
Well, you know,
when,
it's
when
that,
even
depressing.
The actors are rebelling. They're just like, well, I'm done with this. This guy's probably going to die. You all know this sucks. You've been here for an hour. It's going to go on for another 90 minutes. It's not going to get any better than this.
But I like how he's got to like work the room, though. Like, hey, we had a problem, so let's keep him entertained between commercial breaks.
Right.
Like a guy doing stand-up in a Green Goblin costume.
First of all, you're doing a show, and no one ever sees your face.
Right, yes.
You're the Green Goblin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad. It could be a horse.
Yeah.
It could be
at
anyone.
At that moment in the show where the one Spider-Man fell off and almost died.
Yeah.
In that moment, it's a, you know, Julie Taymor, just a drawing on a wall of Green Goblin that comes in and goes, ha, 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 ha. And you're like, am I in a fucking shittiest carnival ride that they ever spent $65 million dollars on?
$65 million.
These poor actors are basically doing what the guys at Disneyland who put on the costumes and come and have breakfast with you. They walk around the restaurant and you have your daughter there and Prayer Bear comes by and just kind of waves.
But they know their characters and have a story. This thing, they made up a whole new origin story where there's a lady spider that wants Peter Parker to be Spider-Man because she wants to turn people into spiders. That's what
cool.
She does. That's a character in the show. It's a lady who wants to turn Peter Parker for no reason.
Hey, a lady spider.
A lady spider.
A lady spider, not a lady.
Yeah. Come on.
Don't you understand?
Just, I apologize.
And now I want to see it.
What I think is they should have just done the show in Haiti and just thrown $65 million around.
There you go. Yeah.
And had a guy in a Spider-Man costume wandering
the
street.
He flew.
I'm Spider-Man!
Yeah. As they're stuffing millions into their pockets. Yeah, he flew. That
he
man, I watched
amazing.
A man fly.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
Guy's incredible.
Because I love the New York reviews that they point out. The harness is so ridiculous that it's just like, well, no, it's a guy flying around on some things. Like it's right. like, it looks like a trampoline or a, you know, a trapeze act.
Yeah,
and a not trampoline and not act. A human what? Flying man.
Right.
With it never looks like anything shooting out of his wrists.
Right.
Even in the masturbation scene.
Oh, I just did Peter Pan on stage.
Did you really
what do you have mean? Wires? I didn't do him.
You played Captain Hook. You were Captain Hook.
No, I was Smee. Smee, his friend. And
you are wire flying, right? Everybody. Hey, everybody, it's Smee. Wait, are you Smee?
That's the name of
Smee.
The autobiography.
I know. What's your name? Smee. I know. What is your name?
That's the
it's
name.
Smee.
That's the name of the autobiography of the man who played Smee in the West End for 20 years. It's Smee. That's the name of the book.
God.
But anyway, it's on wires, and this was the first time wires were used in a show. And it still looks a bit like shit.
What do you mean first time in a show? Like first
ever
time?
On stage where they used wires to suspend people.
Well, because when a person takes off for flight,
yes.
when they are themselves going to go flying into the air, this is how it starts.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, well...
And your shirt sticks really high up. There's like a hunch.
Well, you know your flight glands are in your shoulders. You have to hunch them to get
there. I can fly.
It's awesome.
Let's get that.
Still a good show, though, Peter Pan.
I love the visual humor on the podcast.
For the
really,
listeners
really
at home, Mr. Benson hunched his shoulders in a parody of Peter Pan stage flying.
Well, you know, I have to tell this really fast. We haven't talked about movies hardly at all yet, but...
Oh, have we?
But when I was... When I was roommates with Rob Stone, who starred in Mr. Belvedere, the television show. He played Kevin, the oldest boy.
Yep. Wow. He was roommates with that guy.
Yeah. No, but here's where it gets better.
This is an awesome story. I envy you people getting to hear it for the first time. Go ahead.
Christopher Hewitt, who played Mr. Belvedere, had an incident on the set where he accidentally sat on his own balls. Yeah. Like, my friend Kevin comes home early. I'm sitting there watching Oprah on the futon that I sleep on in the living room of this apartment in Hollywood. And he goes, we got off work early today because Christopher Hewitt sat on his own balls. And then... And if you must know what that would sound like, it's a little bit like this. Oh! So...
His balls can talk. Yeah.
Me and my friends did Christopher Hewitt sitting on his own balls for years after that. And to this day, I just did it. And... So he recovers from the ball incident, but then... But then they do an episode of Mr. Belvedere that takes advantage of the fact that he played Captain Hook on Broadway or where, you know, in the West End also as well. And so they did a whole thing where he'd recovered, but now they're hoisting him up so he could fly, even though Captain Hook didn't fly, did he?
No.
So, so already it's fucking stupid.
Streaks on the China, never mattered before.
So... Great theme song. So he gets hoisted up to be Peter, not Peter Pan, but Captain.
Does
Hook
he
flying.
Get hoisted on his own balls?
No. The thing breaks.
Oh no!
And yeah, I was sitting on the futon. Rob walks in. What happened? Now what? Christopher Hewitt fell on his own balls.
Must be gigantic balls.
Yeah.
They must be enormous.
But
pendulum balls.
I just no one's ever just brought up organically Peter Pan and flying in that way, so I had to tell it.
You would have shoehorned balls into this any way you could. You don't need an excuse.
But also just to connect things together.
Oh.
Christopher Hewitt, of course, was in the original motion picture, The Producers.
Yes.
And then you played Max Bialystock for quite a while in The Producers in Canada.
Yes, I did. I played the Toronto
production.
I wanted
to see you do that so bad. I was in Canada for 3 days doing a rehearsal.
You were stoned the whole time.
I was, well, yeah, of course. But that's when I love to go see shows like Spider-Man and...
Spider-Man?
Yes.
He's Jewish?
And
Spider-Man, get in here!
Spider-Man! Get in here!
Did you...
You've been shooting the vapes all over!
Did you miss FedEx again?
I saw
a show. I like to get high and watch a Chorus Line. You know, I like to mispronounce every show that I see.
Phantom of the Opera. I saw Sean in The Producer.
You saw it. I'm jealous.
And
did you tell this? Why did you not get to see it?
What's that?
I know that. Did you buy a ticket?
Tony Kameen and I bought tickets. We bought tickets, and we showed up, and then that board in the lobby that says, you know, replacement performers, Max Bialystock will be played by some lump of shit.
Sebastian Bach.
Canadian actor.
Awesome.
Oh, if it was Sebastian Bach, I was in.
Yeah.
Because I saw him.
Oh, that's right.
I saw him in Jesus Christ Superstar. Yeah. No, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's a good one.
Because he
if
did.
Canada, it would be Gordon Lightfoot.
Because he did this and the tongue. Like, he did all the rock star shit during the bows.
As Jesus?
As Jesus.
Jesus loved the devil.
And then, like, horns. A few weeks after I saw him do it, they threw him out of the show for doing that.
Yeah. Because at that
they
point,
tried
was,
to tell
was,
him to stop.
It was Jesus Christ Pussy Getter. And it was just, it was not the same thing anymore.
Wow. John.
True, I'll shoehorn pussy in with the balls. I don't care. I'll do both.
Balls. I knew a guy, a comedian in Britain, who had gigantic balls. Same with Malcolm Hardy, and the reason I know this...
Most comedians have a lot of nerve.
Well, they're...
What are you saying?
Well, he was insane. And
how did you see his gigantic balls?
Well, here's the story. He would get out... He had a show called The Tunnel Club in Greenwich, and you would do that, and he would bring you on. He would introduce you, and he had giant, like, Coke bottle glasses, and he was just a wimper. He would talk like this. So, here we are. Here's Sean Connery. He might be shit. Here he is. That was the intro you'd get.
And then, so similar to my intro tonight.
Yeah. But then he would do this thing. People would shout, balls, 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 balls. And he would take his giant balls out and just bounce them.
How big? Like,
they were big.
Talking?
Like
ridiculous?
They were like, you know, if you get a bag of onions or something.
Yeah.
It was like that.
He had a bag of two onions, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
He had seven balls.
He had seven balls.
And he would...
And they peeled
would
all the
time. Would he hold them off so that he could close with that? Or would he do that 2 minutes in
if
asked?
People would chant, 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 and he would give it to you.
Often
he would
say,
fuck off, not showing the balls. Fuck off, not showing the balls. Fuck off, and then, all right, here they are.
Here they are.
And,
put them out.
And he would just show you the balls.
Big onion balls.
But yeah. There's one funny story, other one. He was doing a show where he would do a blacklight show in the middle of his show. And he had a show called ARG, because the more A's you had in it, the closer you would get to the front of the program at Edinburgh. So he was always ARG. And his show, he would go up on stage and he had a blacklight and he painted his balls orange with a Dayglow orange and he would bounce them to music in the theater. And then one day... He was feeling ill. He was taken to the hospital.
Oh, no.
And his wife was there, and she said, doctor, how is he doing? And they were standing there, and Malcolm was lying in the bed, and he said, well, what does his color look like to you, the doctor says. And he says, well, and Malcolm pipes up and says, well, this is all right, but these look a bit weird. He pulls his balls out, covered with orange paint. So that's the story of the balls.
Mm. Yeah.
I just realized.
Yes, the story of the balls.
I just realized I've never been in show business. I've been doing this 23 years. I'm actually not in show business.
You've been stuck on the periphery.
Yeah, I really have been.
You haven't been
nowhere near
the
center.
Of...
Yeah.
John Doerr.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
First timer. Mm-hmm. You've got relatives in the audience.
My mom and dad are here from Ottawa, Ontario, and they came with my uncle Bob. Yeah, I have Bob's my uncle. Yeah, yeah.
Uncle Bob sounds like a scary figure to me for some reason.
Well, stand up, Uncle Bob. He's very distinct. He has a very lovely beard. A lovely beard. He's like a George Lucas.
He's like a Roger Ebert.
Yeah. Yeah.
He totally looks like he could review film.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he does. He's actually Uncle Bob is a film student, and he made a film called The Terror at Tanglewood Manor. He was supposed to be like a 12-minute production, 2 hours long. Ran out of black and white, so we just threw in color film. Yeah. It takes place in the autumn.
Bob. Yeah.
Very original. Very original. Yeah.
What have you been to the movies lately, Bob? You're still editing your movie, yeah. So that leaves you no time for other movies. Yeah.
It's 40 years in the making.
He's got to untangle the tangled terror of Terror Town. Well, good luck with that, dude. And welcome to our country. Is he from elsewhere?
He is. He's from Ottawa.
Oh, okay. So you have a movie coming out called Stag?
Yes.
Oh, I IMDb the shit out of my guests.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
When I remember to. And you, something called Stag. Donald Faison from Scrubs.
That's right.
Is in it. And then you.
Yeah, and Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Eva Amuri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Californication.
Yeah, she showed her boobies in that. Yeah. They're biggins.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like onions.
They look like an onion bag. Like onions.
Her boobs look like seven onions.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's an awesome set of boobs.
How would you describe Eva's chest? Well, you ever seen a bag of seven onions? Well.
Did you ever see Total Recall? Add four more.
Yeah. Do you know math?
Oh.
Only if you cut them, you cry. Like onions. You knew what I was talking about.
Well, yeah, but you cry for two reasons. Because you'd feel bad about
cutting a boob. You don't want to cut a boob. Yeah.
You wouldn't even cut a boob if you were at the Tangled Terror Tower.
You don't know me.
Tanglewood Terror Tower.
Yeah.
Sean Cullen, you were in Love Guru?
I certainly was. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had on a set.
And then conversely,
it was one of the worst. No, see, both of them. I was being ironic.
Oh, really?
Or sarcastic?
You had a terrible time making it, and then it was awful.
Really bad, and I knew it was going to be bad.
What was you were played a bellman?
No.
Don't make me keep guessing.
Okay. I played the referee. I played a referee.
Is there really a difference between a bellman and a referee?
Well, referees rarely deliver your luggage to the penalty box, but. Yeah,
you're a referee at so there's a lot of hockey in the movie.
Yeah, it's a hockey movie set in Toronto, and it's terrible. But I was the referee, and I would sit there for 14 hours. They'd call me, and I'd come in, and I'd sit there with my skates on at 7 in the morning, and then at 9 at night, they would say, go out and stand there and point, and that was it. And then I would go home. It was kind of boring because at that time my baby was being born that day. And I was like, oh, this is the best day ever for this to be happening and to feel so useless and not be where I want to be at the same time. That's what movie making is all about.
But at least you named that and child then, Puck, so it all...
They named him Pucky. But the thing is, I've never seen the movie... But I just saw my little bit in it, and they used someone else's voice. They dubbed someone else in.
Didn't Mike Myers dub in all the other voices, I think?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, he tried to crawl inside my body and move me.
They probably were like looping some stuff with Justin, and they were like, hey, say some other characters' lines.
Oh, my God. The audition was awesome.
5 minutes!
That was what I had to say, and then they called me 5 months later to tell me I got the job. I think because everyone else said no.
They probably lost sleep at night over that 5 minutes. Like, yeah, but they were like, that guy really nailed it.
Don't you think that's enough?
You're out of here!
Yeah.
5 minutes! You're out of here!
But they had to dub someone else.
Yeah, they were like, yeah.
What does that guy sound like? Let's try it. You do the thing and I'll do the voice. You just do you.
You're out of here!
Yeah. It was a very rewarding experience.
Or what if, try it, Patton, what if it was the rat from Ratatouille that said that?
I like cheese! It didn't really work.
It was perfect.
He looked so angry and he was pointing. Yeah, why would you be angry and pointing when you like cheese?
He likes cheese so much it makes him pissed off. That he knows he has to wait till it's in his mouth.
Well, in context.
Yeah.
In context, maybe he's being interrogated by the police.
Exactly, yeah.
Why did you do it?
That's his alibi.
I like cheese.
Yeah. What, the DNA is lactose intolerant? I like cheese.
Patton, can you tell us what is it that you do in, I gotta look at it, get the title right, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas.
Wow.
I am a weed selling Santa Claus, and I have been informed by the writers based on, because I went in and did a little I did some ADR, dubbed my own voice. But I do.
He's crying. Is it?
Oh,
I like cheese.
Canadian tears are the saddest tears, because they're just melted Yetis. I'm the first. I apparently performed the first 3D exhalation of pot smoke on film.
So
that's according to them. Now I don't know how they're going to cut the scene, but
right. So it's going to be a very 3D Harold and Kumar Christmas.
It's a very 3D stoner film.
All right. Well, I'll try to find a screen that has a just shows it regular.
Yeah. You'll provide your
and
own.
And I'll still
3D
enjoy
smoke,
that
I'm
moment.
Sure.
I'll still be like, oh, I bet you that was fun in 3D.
Yeah.
But most of it was not worth wearing the glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I haven't seen Green Hornet 3D yet because I want to just see it in regular.
Did you see it 2D? You just haven't seen it.
I just want to see it in 2D, but it's hard to do now because most of the screens are all 3D.
Some of them are even 4D. Because
they get
now.
More money for me that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessarily a bad movie. I just haven't. I can't take 3D anymore. I can't take wearing the glasses.
Got sad in here, didn't it?
It really is. It's sad 3D. What the movie companies are doing to us.
I know.
They're pushing us away.
Gonna die out eventually, please.
It'll get bigger. It'll be 5D. They're gonna go 5D, 6D.
Well, it's currently 4D. They're working on where time passes while you're watching.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but everyone who's watched it comes out too old to remember how they got in there in the first place.
God.
So yeah,
that's like 7D.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
double
D.
8D, you get a hand job.
Oh,
just the ladies.
I wish they would do a Chuck D. That would be great where you actually, you get angry at white people while you watch it. If they would do a Chuck D version, Or
I only thought of the TV show Chuck. I was like, what?
Oh, no. Chuck D.
Chuck
come
D.
On.
Come on.
You
come
pasty on, motherfucker. Look, I'm from the street, I know we got different backgrounds.
Chuck D was in Run DMC. Get fucking, with it.
Yeah.
I watched a movie in Ruby D.
Unbelievable.
I fucking walked the streets of the Americana. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen, man. I don't know if there's going to be a sale at Anthropology or they're going to have the new Twilight at Barnes & Noble. Every fucking day, it's do or die out there, man. Yeah.
And you never know when the trolley car is going to be running.
No, man. They don't tell you.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They don't post a schedule. All right, we got to play the Leonard Maltin game, you guys.
Yeah.
That's what we're all here for.
This is where I lose.
You think so?
Yeah, sort of.
Have you not been good at it?
Maybe they'll do all David Cronenberg films.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That.
I do have a category, especially for you
now
guys.
It's nice.
Look at that. Look at that. Wow.
So look at what.
Oh, my God.
The signs, the name tags are coming out. They're more like signs than name tags.
Damn.
Ruzzi, of course, is disqualified.
I can't. It's not working. It's dark. Oh, yeah?
So, okay. We got to get through this.
Wow.
Not good. Who will I pick? Do we pick one?
Let's do this. Ready?
All right.
Yeah. But now I need...
Quiet, you guys.
Do we pick someone? No.
All right. So let me tell you what we're playing for.
Barf.
So some people can put their name tags down. Like, I don't need... What size shoe is this?
Size 11 and a half. Anyone?
John Doerr bought some 11 and a half size shoes. So make a note, John, who you want to play for.
Just for the record, they were too small.
Oh, everybody. Someone's got a giant dick and his pants are here.
Thank you.
John, you shouldn't. You're not supposed to wear them on your head, man.
But unfortunately, balls like persimmons, super tiny.
Yeah.
You will never sit on his own balls.
You'll never sit on those.
Yeah, I'll never work in England.
from Sean Cullen. We have Sean Cullen Live, the CD.
Awesome CD.
Also, Sean Cullen, awesome I Am a Human Man, which is an interesting CD because it's not just stand-up. It's also got crazy sound effects and songs.
I'm fat on one and skinny on the other, and right now I'm in the middle.
You're like
you're
the
working
China
all
dolls.
The angles.
Yeah,
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 you could play wood, every part on the human on the stage if you keep changing.
Yes.
And you also brought a book called The Prince of Neither Here Nor There,
yes.
Which I'm guessing is for children.
Well, it's a young adult book. It's funny, I think. Yeah. People might like it. It's young porn.
You'd written, I'd given away another one of your books.
Yeah,
and that's awesome that you write all those books. Speaking of books, Patton Oswalt's got one as well.
Jesus.
Yeah. He's just called Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, Which One Are You? That's how I like to promote that book. And then IFC Films gave us another copy of Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work, which is a very entertaining documentary.
She is one of the most beautiful women in the world.
You're thinking of someone else. And then you're thinking of Joan Collins. We've also got a few more like items from nice people who have just given us stuff. A lighter and some sunglasses from Groove Shark. And a little monkey from Woot.
Oh.
I like the Woot monkeys that you can, they're like rockets that you can shoot into the audience. So if anyone from Woot is listening, you can send me more of those. And then I'll give them away and mention you.
Oh,
and then I brought my CD, Doug Benson, Professional Humoridian.
Yeah.
And a signed poster with my face on it that also says the name of another album I did called Unbalanced Load. So someone's going to win all of that stuff.
There's more in there.
What do you mean?
In the shoe case.
Oh, yeah, and John also in his shoe case brought...
These are the big gifts.
For
here.
Fans of Canadian television, napkins that say the John Doerr television show.
You're welcome.
But they showed it on IFC here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's some choice premiums.
I heard some good things about it.
Were you going for a Golden Globe with those?
Some,
is that why you're giving those
some
out?
Some cozies that say John Doerr television show?
Yeah.
And is it still on IFC, or what's going on with
that? No, it's ended its run, but yeah.
But see, people liked it.
Yeah.
It was a very good
they've
show.
They've never seen
these
it.
These people, no, and they didn't even know you were going to be here tonight. They're just fans. It worked out good.
But no,
so,
it's canceled.
All right, well, we got to play a quick, in memoriam, let's play a quick game of the Leonard Maltin and give away this thing.
Yeah.
So go get that name tag from somebody that's got the right size feet. And Patton and Sean, pick out a name tag. Scott Porter has a huge name tag. He's like, he stole some paneling from a homeless man's house. Oh, he's got the lights. Patton likes lights.
I like shiny.
He likes flashy, shiny things.
Shiny. I like it shiny. Yeah, good job.
But Casey, keep up the good work, because that's a good one. Oh, you've won before, though. Casey's a previous winner. But
as his family or as anyone in his household won in the last 6 weeks?
Oh, you put him in your mouth, and then you have crazy light-up teeth. Can we kill the lights for a second?
Jeez. This works well on radio.
Holy crap.
It's like
you guys didn't even wash those off first.
Tastes like combos.
Wow, yeah.
Are those combos?
Combos really cheeses your hunger away.
It's like Tron is
you
on
thrush infection. Wow, no Britishers in the room? No.
Thrush.
I got a case of a thrush. Gotta go down to chemists.
Wicked thrush.
Yeah. Also, Lori.
All right.
Lou,
so John Doerr is playing for
Barnes,
and Patton's playing for Noble. And Fart. Steve is Patton's player, playing person, and Sean went with Cousin Jew.
Yeah.
Does he need some pants?
Wait, what are you pointing to him for? But you were holding it before. So I could see it. Oh, thank you.
What?
Thank you for shoving that Jew in my face.
It's rarely you meet a Jew who doesn't know how to spell Jew.
Yeah. That was a deleted line from Schindler's List, by the way.
That's right.
That is on the bonus DVD.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You really should check out the deleted lines.
From Schindler.
Extras on the DVD.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
For Schindler's List. There's some good ones. Good. What's your favorite, Sean?
Hey, what time is it?
My favorite is, are you going to finish those Doritos?
I like the scene, the deleted scene where he was looking out over the workers, and then he turned back to his cigarettes, and he used telekinesis to make them hover into his hand.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was a crazy scene.
Different choice for the director. It was good.
Yep. Okay, so...
They cut all the telekinesis out.
All of it.
When he made... Yeah. I just react because there's another scene where he makes Heather Locklear's blouse pop open. Yeah. Awesome.
No. Dude, he makes the girl in the colored coat fly.
Yeah. That's how she got coat. It was stuck in a tree and she flew up to get it and put it on.
And then he does that weird dance with Schindler where he just lifts him with his mind.
Yeah.
And then they dance around.
And you read my mind.
All right, we got to play the game, you guys.
That's when they thought it was all fantasy.
We got a serious time crunch
you
now.
Read my mind.
This is going to be rough.
Here we go.
Okay, we'll start. John, you can pick the first category.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like Oh Canada? Those are movies that take place in Canada.
Wait a minute.
Now, this next category is for you. Jack Lemmon movies. No, I'm kidding. The Canada category is for you. Jack Lemmon. It's Jack Lemmon's birthday today on the 8th of February, and he's no longer with us, but it's his birthday, and so movies starring Jack Lemmon, or since it's the month of romance, Black History Month,
Sex with Black People Month,
Entertainment Weekly's greatest romances according to Entertainment Weekly. Which one of those categories sounds good?
So there are two categories?
There's three of them total.
Oh, Canada is a category?
Canada, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
doing Canada.
Oh, okay. But when you say Oh Canada,
I even spelled it right.
You're
saying Canada.
Specifically Canadian movies. Is that what you're saying?
They take place in Canada.
Oh, that are set in Canada. Yeah, let's go Oh Canada.
Oh, okay. Look, I like you going for the advantage right away. Now you get to pick the year. Would you like this to be from 1982, 1999, or 2000?
Say it again. 1982, 89, or 2000?
Now you're repeating back different years.
Okay. Sorry. Go.
82.
Go again. Yeah.
99 or 2000?
I'll go 94. I'll go 82.
Wow.
82.
Okay.
82.
Good one. Cool.
Good one.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie
Schindler's
three
List.
Stars.
Go on.
Good guess.
Thank you.
Three stars from Leonard Maltin. This movie is Canadian, as we've mentioned.
Well, that's not a clue then.
He calls it low-key, and he also says it may be a bit too laid back. Yeah. From our good friends in Canada. Three stars, and it was from 1982, and there are only five names listed. So it's not a big crowd scene, actors-wise. Five names. How many names do you think you can get it in, John Doerr?
Too laid back.
Yeah, the clues never help, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't dwell on them.
I'll go... only five names. I'll go... one name.
All right, so now we go to Patton.
Am I playing this game right?
No. Name that movie.
I think you might not be, because now you have to name it based on that one name that I give you.
1982 Canadian movie.
From the bottom of the five names.
But there's only five names, so...
But the fifth billed person is not... The name's not going to ring a bell at all, I'm guessing.
Well, let's find out. Let's see if it does. Let's see if it does.
It's Timothy Weber.
No problem.
The great Timothy Weber. Do you have any idea?
Now, what happens if I guess right now?
If you guess it correctly, you get a point.
Yeah.
If you don't guess it correctly, Patton gets a point.
He gets a point.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
And we only played at 2 points, so...
So I've made this a very
quick really
game.
You've really dug
thus
a big
far.
Hole for yourself. But people have come back from worse. I don't know how
Schindler.
It could be worse.
Schindler came back from worse.
Yeah, but he...
Schindler did all right.
Yeah. He was fine. Well, I'm going to say, I'm going to guess. No, it can't be.
Was Schindler like, is he considered like the first bouncer? Like, is he the first person who had a list and was very clear about if you're not on the list or you're on the list?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Or is he like the first fashion blogger? Let's see who's on my list this year. Lowenstein.
Oh, you did
want to
be on that list.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Strange Brew.
Oh, okay. See, you made a decent guess, but that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the names, the next three probably don't matter to anyone, are Ken Pogue, Wayne Robson, and Jackie Burroughs. I mean, not that they matter, but you know what I mean. And then, but the lead actor that should maybe give it away to some people, it's still a hard one, I think, is Richard Farnsworth.
Oh, is it The Gray Fox?
That's correct.
Mm. There you go.
Awesome film.
Yeah, it's really, the photography is amazing.
Awesome
and the music
movie.
Is great. And it's
beautiful.
Really,
it drives a tractor
but it
after
is,
trains.
But it does move slowly, so get ready for that.
Movie, it's a good movie.
Well, it's very laid back.
But it's well done. And it's laid back's not the word I would use for that.
Yeah.
It really sounds like you're going to watch a bunch of stoners hanging out instead of bank robbers robbing a train. All right. Let's start down there with you, Sean, on this next one. Patton has a point.
Wow.
You will be playing one of these categories.
Yes.
The motion picture, the cast of the motion picture Friday.
Oh, God.
Other movies they've appeared in.
Okay.
This was submitted by someone on Twitter called at Small Batch Brew.
Jeez.
And their category idea was first of three or more. So this is the first movie of a series of three or more.
Oh.
You know, a tent pole, if you will. And then the third category is the great composer John Williams also celebrated a birthday today.
Yes.
So motion pictures with music by John Williams.
It's, you know, he's done some very obscure and bad movies and some very memorable ones.
There's no reason for you to talk through clues for your for your opponents.
Let's say, what? So the first one is the cast of Fridays and other films they have done.
Yeah, so other films that feature either the Chris Tucker or Ice Cube.
No,
or that guy with the crazy
isn't
eye.
Isn't Steve Guttenberg in Fridays?
Friday.
Oh, Friday.
I don't know what Fridays is.
You know what? Thank God it's Friday. I was thinking of.
And Steve Guttenberg wasn't in that
yes,
either.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. Can't Stop the Music.
Yes, he was in Can't Stop
okay.
the Music.
I'm not going to take that category then. I think
there should be a TV show called Shit Sean Cullen Says.
How about what's the second one? It's like first of
series? I love the logic expended on picking a category
okay.
for God's sake.
Forget it. Forget it. I'll
People
take the second one. I don't even
serious,
need to know
man.
What it is. Just tell me what
it's first of three or more.
Okay, fine.
Submitted by Small Batch.
I don't care.
Thank you, Small Batch.
Whatever it is, I'm just starting.
All right. 2000 or
Steve
2002?
McQueen.
I won't even give you three choices.
What?
2000 or 2002? It's the first
I'm going to go 2000 because it was the millennium.
Oh, that's when you kept your movie journal.
Yeah, I did.
All right, yeah, cool.
Okay, Leonard gives this movie 2.5 stars.
Oh.
He says about it, here's a couple things he says about it. He says it's got a funny setup.
Oh.
But he also says results are frustratingly uneven.
Oh.
2.5 stars from 2000. The category was first of three or more. And there
not
are...
not Schindler's List.
There are eight names.
Okay.
Eight names? Yeah, eight names. How many names do you think it is? Audience, don't talk it through.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go... I'm not dumb. Four. How about that?
Okay, it's a good start. John Doerr.
Oh, it comes to me now.
Yeah, it comes around to you.
It's like Name That Tune.
Oh, yeah. So now
but
I have...
But with
okay.
more players than yeah. they normally had.
I'm going one to more. Say you said four. So now if I say three... Then
that would be less.
Yes, so...
That would be a successful bid. Then Patton would either say name it with three
so
names or
name
he
it.
Will
I'm
try to
say,
go lower.
I'll say three, yeah. I'll say I can name it in three.
Name that movie.
So now... Patton can win this.
I don't tell everybody where to sit. If I were on the show, I would sit strategically, but I don't. I'm just the host. I don't participate.
Not like Mr. Belvedere.
Except for that one time.
The most unstrategic.
And with that painful and we're down to 2 minutes.
Oh.
Okay, here we go.
This makes this a very short podcast, doesn't it?
Do you want the clues again?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
2.5 stars. It's from the year 2000. It's one of three or more.
Right.
It's the first of three or more. And it's got a funny setup. Results are frustrating and uneven. I don't know why that would help you.
I pretty much know it now, but let's just go ahead.
I was
ahead
hoping
and,
those are the noises you made when you were watching it. Oh, this setup is delightful, but frustratingly uneven. And your three names are... I think you have a shot at this, buddy. Is that? Can I call you that? Phyllis George.
Yes, you can.
Phyllis George.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
And John Abrams. Abrahams. Abrams. I guess it's Abrahams.
First
they go
of
either
three.
Way on that.
Okay, so question. First of three. Like, this is just to make sure you have the category right. Like, they made three of these movies. For instance,
yeah, yeah.
Star Wars.
Or more.
One, two, three.
They made more than three of these, maybe. And Owen Wilson is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if something's
right
not popping into your head, there's probably like two movies that he's done where there were
yeah.
a series of them.
So how many Night at the Museums are there, and when did that start?
That's there was just the two, far. But good
yeah.
try.
No, I'm just talking out loud right now. I'm not asking for any help. I mean,
that's what you usually do when you talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you sorry. Never hear somebody yeah. say, I'm thinking in my mind aloud right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a Paul Williams song? That talking in
I'm
my
just
mind,
talking
thinking with my mouth.
Owen Wilson,
everything is upside down. What are you talking about over
there? Don't give anything away. No, but it's got to be. It's got to be. And if I'm guessing this right, I mean, it's got to be. Like we're not talking about like Wes Anderson films. They've done three. We're talking like an actual. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't call don't call a bottle rocket a tent pole.
Well, I call Rushmore Bottle Rocket 2.
Well, that's your own little fun game that you get to play.
Yeah.
But if you change the name of Royal Tenenbaums, I will murder you.
Just talking out loud
call
right
it whatever
now.
You want. But you also normally don't get this much time to work it
meet
through.
Meet the Fockers. Was he even in those?
That was so close!
Meet the parents,
it's
I meant.
Meet the parents.
Meet the parents.
We have to take.
We have to take
your first guess.
No.
Because we're out of time.
I meant meet the parents.
I know what you meant, but have you ever been on a game show?
But you didn't.
That'd be a great game show.
But you didn't let me.
Welcome to I Meant.
You didn't.
The show of second chances.
That'd be a great game show. Time out. You didn't let me finish my...
We gotta go, though, anyway.
But I just let me
this
say...
This is all moot.
Just let me say...
I'm gonna turn the sound off.
You didn't let me finish the sentence. I was gonna say, Meet the Fockers was a good movie, but the first one was Meet the Parents. That's what I was gonna say.
That's my problem as a host, is trying to end on time. I rushed when you were gonna say the full answer, but at least someone that Patton's playing for is gonna get some huge shoes.
Yeah.
Let me
give him the bars.
Who are you playing for, Patton? Where's Steve at? Where's Steve?
Sorry, cousin
Steve,
June.
Steve, you wear 11 and a half size shoe?
No.
Can we give him to the guy that John was playing for?
No. Good for you.
What an a-hole!
I love that answer. I love that answer. All right, you guys got anything to plug? Just plug anything you have coming up while I find out some information.
I did a show. Me.
I have got this Patton problem with my chair. I just want, if any other improv company is coming up, they should be very careful because this is broken. They will hurt themselves during a transformation of who?
Who Great else plug. Was being played for? Oh, you. Hey, Jew. Sorry.
Jew lost.
Julian. Okay. Do you have anything to plug, John?
Pearljam.com. Check it out. It's great.
It's pretty good.
Where did Patton go?
Patton ran out. He has nothing to talk about, nothing to give. He's just all about him. He's left.
That's adorable. I got to get a picture of all the guests together.
Well, it's not going to happen.
We need him. I already forgot. Oh, there it is.
You need a picture for the podcast.
Oh, there you are. Come back, Patton. We need a picture at the end of the three of you sitting together,
happy.
Celebrating what a lovely time we had.
Oh,
and you guys,
you can give the
name tags, man.
What was that?
What just happened?
I don't know. That guy just left.
Well, Patton's already frozen in the end picture, so he probably thought it was over. He was like, there's no more to see here.
I don't get it.
The credits are about to start.
Did you take a picture?
No, I'm going to stand up and take a picture after I say the following.
What is it?
We have a little closing thing worked out that I do every week.
Oh.
And, yeah. And I'd like to thank Sean Collin, Patton Oswalt, and John Doerr. Watch for what they do and support it. And as always, Chaka Khan is a shithead. And Dr. Phil is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch his other talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's
no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Typical Jew wants his phone back.